Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Daily Bread broadcast. This is your host, Marcus Brown, reporting. We read, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Acts, the very first chapter, about a promise that God has made us, a promise of giving us power. And you and I, since this is Pentecost weekend, I thought it fitting that we study and, you know, just refresh ourselves as to what his promises are and what you and I can do, or at least should be seeking to do, as he continues to lead us by his Spirit. He says, the writer is saying, "These things I wrote unto you about what Jesus began and to do and to teach," in verse 1, "until the day in which he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself," that's the apostles, "alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." So he proved to them and showed them what he was about and what he has been doing. Some of that is documented here. And so they assembled together. He commanded them not to leave from Jerusalem until they receive power. He says in verse 5, "For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence," or any days from now. And he continues in verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this point?" And he says, "It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has in his own power. But," what is it you should know? "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that he left us a promise that we are going to receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And so my question to you this morning, have you received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you? And likewise then, what is that power for? Or let's rephrase it in another way, what are you doing with that power? I want us to break through, and this may take several lessons, but I would like for us to think about the power of God that is supposed to be on every believer. Yes, that's Acts chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come," that's verse 1, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all assembled, where they were all where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were dwelling," different people at Jerusalem who came for the feast and so on. Point though is this: the power came, and you can read this chapter in your own time. In fact, read all of the chapters 1, 2, and 3, get a full gist of what is going on. But my point here is that the power came, and this is what happened. Now remember, the promise was that the power would come in the last days, according to Joel, the second chapter. He's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Well, here it is. He's making it available. And he started with the church, the people who later became the church, or at least known as the church, or the called out ones. And so power came upon them after the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Well, question again is, have you received power? I want you to notice now, because we want to look at the Bible. Everything you and I do must be based on the Word of God. Everything we do not do also should be based on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we want you to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that God's desire is for you and I to walk in power. So here it is, he promised us this power. And the question is, Have you received this power? And then since you have received this power, what are you doing? Well, how did they do it in the Bible? Well, remember, under the Old Covenant, the power was given to a limited number of people. The Holy Spirit was, you know, giving them the anointing, but it wasn't poured out until after the day of Pentecost, according to John, the 7th chapter, verses, 37 through 39, where it says, you know, Jesus was not yet given. Well, he was given then, after that, and so that is when the... let me read it so I make sure I paraphrase it properly. John, the 7th chapter, and verse 37, let's pick it up. But verse 39 says, "But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." That's it. He was not yet glorified. And of course, the way God is organized, he has the day of Pentecost as the initial day where he's going to just open it up now to mankind in general. All right, it's for those who hear and believe. Not everybody on planet Earth, but those who hear and believe. Is he going to deal with the other folks at another time? Yes, he is. But for you and I know who are here and now, this is our time. And so the point is this. Have you received power? And if not, why not? What are you doing? What is it that you need to do? Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then after that, now you have to stir up the Spirit, and we'll talk about that in another lesson. So here it is, you and I begin to recognize now, ladies and gentlemen, what the promise was and how it came initially on the church. And we're going to go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. And I want to pick up a few verses here so that we continue the same focus as to what should happen after the Spirit has come up on us. It says, therefore, Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So I'm saying to you now, pay attention so you won't let it slip. Verse 2. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how much more what is spoken by Jesus? Well, what did he promise us? You shall receive power. Continue. Verse 3. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by them that heard him, that is the apostles. All right. Verse 4. And God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So there it is, and he summarizes it here, and that is a whole lot really you have to come study 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 to get a full gist of exposition of this verse 4. But the point here is this, he says, these are the things that will happen. These signs and wonders will follow them that believe. And of course, that was part of the promise he gave us when he gave us the Great Commission, Matthew the 28th chapter, verses 19 through 20, and Mark 16. So here it is, I'm saying to you, know, this is what it is like. Folks might say, well, what are we talking about? Well, I'm giving you an example of what it is like. And so this is what it is like, and you and I should think along that line. Let's look at another example, ladies and gentlemen, under the Old Covenant, in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. Picking up the story in verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, Samuel told everything unto him, that's unto Eli, and he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seems right, what seemed him good. Okay, verse 19. And then he makes a statement. I want you to notice the statement, because that's an observation. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. You can put your name there. The Lord is with us since we have received the Holy Ghost, right? And did let none of his words fall to the ground. None of Samuel's word fall to the ground. In other words, he spoke and God backed him up. You notice that now. The person speak and the Lord backed him up. In this case, it is Samuel. And he says, all of Israel from Dan unto Beersheba knew, in other words, people could tell. Well, folks are going to be able to tell wherever you are, from Atlanta to New York or from Kingston to Montreal, wherever. People are going to be able to tell that the Lord is with you when none of your words fall to the ground because you're speaking as the oracle of God. In other words, you're saying the things that God has purposed and you're going to do things His way. So the question again is, have you received? All right, let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter. And I want to pick up one verse here so that we get a little bit more direction as to how you and I should be approaching all of this. In Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 13, he says, and he said, and he laid his, let's see, Luke, 11th chapter, and verse, that was verse 11th chapter and verse 13. He says, if you then, being evil, knows how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? If we, who don't have it together, so to speak, know how to give gifts to our kids, how much more are we having the Father give gifts to us? In this case, he's saying, give the Holy Spirit to us. So it is the Father who gives us the Spirit, and that's what Jesus had promised in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he points that out. And it's all over the really the four Gospels. But you get the idea. So what I am saying to you, then, you shall receive power. Now we have received power, and we saw where God confirmed words that they spoke with signs and wonders in Hebrews the 2nd chapter, verse 4, and in 1 Samuel 3:19, you see where none of Samuel's word fell to the ground. Why? God was with him. And so the same can be said of you and I. God is with you and I. I want to finish, ladies and gentlemen, in this lesson by going to Philippians, the 4th chapter. We all have read it before, but I like to just turn to it again and to read it in your own hearing, because you and I need to be cognizant of what God wants to do for you and I, for us, and so we stay focused on Him. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus is the one who's going to strengthen you and I. And he had obviously received the Spirit, he has power, and he's going around doing the things of God. But one occasion he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, guess what? You and I need to be following Christ in like manner. Romans the 8th chapter verse 14. As many as are being led, well, we're supposed to be following him again. And so here it is, he's confirming in Philippians 4:13. He's going to be able to do all things. Why? Because God is his God who is doing it in through him and leading him in that direction. And he says, let me read it again. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's going to be your confirmation, ladies and gentlemen, about what God is doing as He confirmed the words that you speak and demonstrate, or I should say manifest His power through signs and wonders and different miracles and however else He chooses to confirm His word with you and that He is with you. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Continue to pray, Lord, accordingly. Continue to believe that God is going to manifest Himself as He promised. And we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you so much.